If you look east, you'll see what remains of Wood Creek. When they constructed the Champlain Canal, they straightened and enlarged the narrow and winding river, so only portions of the real Wood Creek remain.
Oh yeah, I can kind of see a winding river and overlapping the straight canal.
This was not the easiest route to the Hudson River. Today there's a very narrow channel between the creek, the canal, the railway, and the highway. But in 1777, it was all swamp and rocks. The creek was generally only navigable by bateau after a period of rain.
Ooh, Wood Creek must have presented some serious challenges.
Imagine you are one of those soldiers running from the British. They were all in boats coming to the mouth of Wood Creek when Burgoyne's fleet catches up. They left most of their belongings behind as they set the community aflame. Then the volley of muskets and cannon began. The ships caught on fire and everyone fled up Wood Creek. They loaded themselves into bateaus, but the water was barely deep enough to float the boat. With the boats clogging the waterways, most got out and fled to Fort Anne by foot.
On July 7th, the country people about Skenesborough, having reported that part of the enemy was still retreating, the 9th Regiment was detached to take post near Fort Anne to observe their motions. The other troops were employed all that day and night in dragging 50 bateaux over the falls to facilitate the movement of the rest of the 1st Brigade to dislodge the enemy there.
Oh, this is just like Hubbardton. One regiment moves forward to chase the enemy while the other are pulling up the rear.
Remember, Fraser and Riedesel were moving toward Hubbardton at the same time that Burgoyne was moving on Lake Champlain. So the Battle of Hubbardton is going on this same day. The big difference is that Fraser and Riedesel had a force of about 1,000, while Burgoyne only dispatches about 200 men to Fort Anne.
Wow, that's not much of a force.
Right. The other difference here was that St. Clair had prepared his rear guard for the action that was to take place at Hubbardton. But on the other side, rebels were coming up to help defend the area south of us.
Uh-oh.
And as their numbers increased, they went on the offensive. The British were outnumbered, overwhelmed, and withdrew to the top of Battle Hill, about a half mile north of Fort Anne.
Oh, so what was this fort like?
Well, not one of those star-shaped forts. It was what is called a blockhouse. It was a more of a defensible log cabin with a stockade or fence around it. There's a replica blockhouse you will see when we get to Fort Anne.
A report was received from Colonel Hill of the 9th Regiment that the enemy had been reinforced in the night by a considerable body of fresh troops, that he could not retire before them with his regiment, but would maintain his ground.
On July 8th, the action was renewed. At first, the rebels were beaten back. But reinforcements arrived. They quickly gained the upper hand. They once again drove the British up the height and were able to free the 30 rebel men and women who were captured by the British the previous day. As the battle continued, the 9th Regiment expended nearly all its ammunition.
Wow, it sounds like the Brits were about to get squashed by the rebels.
According to multiple accounts of the battle, a Captain John Money of the 9th Regiment then let out a loud war whoop in order to make the rebels believe he was being reinforced by the Indians.
What good would that do?
The rebels didn't have the ammunition or reinforcements. They would need to continue fighting if the British were reinforced. A council of war was held, and it was decided to evacuate Fort Anne. Like I said, it wasn't much of a fort, so it would be hard to defend. They continued their retreat to a rebel garrison further south in the town of Fort Edward. The blockhouse was set on fire.
So were the rebels fooled by Captain Money, or were the reinforcements really on their way?
Why don't you listen to what Burgoyne had to say?
A violent storm of rain, which lasted the whole day, prevented these troops from getting to Fort Anne so soon as was intended. But the delay gave the 9th Regiment an opportunity of distinguishing themselves by standing and repulsing an attack of 6 times their number.
Wow, they really fooled them and pulled off a victory.
While both Hubbardton and Fort Anne were small battles that ended in the rebels retreating, there was no clear victory for Burgoyne or a loss for the rebels.
I bet those 200 British soldiers that held that hill felt like it was a win for them. Outnumbered and nearly out of ammunition, but still carrying that victory.
Exactly. Despite some losses, both armies have avoided any major casualties up to this point. I think Digby was able to sum up the lessons learned for the British pretty well.
Hereafter will be seen the consequences of detaching such small numbers from the main body of the army. as it has always been the wish of the Americans to avoid a general engagement, except they have great superiority, and to surround small parties of ours and get them into a wood where the discipline of our troops is not of such force.
Pay close attention. As Route 4 gets us closer to the village of Fort Ann, you'll see a rock wall with a bronze plaque identifying the location of Battle Hill. And beyond that, to our left, is the replica blockhouse.